Chase Willie, D Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Chase McCabe, Willie Donick, Derek Mason hanging out with you. Nick Kieser on the ones and twos. Titans get the victory last night, 27-17 in Green Bay on Thursday Night Football. And unfortunately, the story is Todd Downing being arrested for DUI after they return home. But the story within the game is that the Titans offense looked very, very good last night. Ryan Tannehill, 22 of 27, 333, two touchdowns. He did have an interception, but it was, as Derek pointed out earlier, a great defensive play. I thought Ryan Tannehill had his best game of the year for the Titans. He was only sacked three times. I thought the offensive line, for the most part, without Ben Jones, played well. I think it was the right move putting Aaron Brewer at center, which seems to be his natural position.
And that surprised me. They went against the Brad Hopkins philosophy that we talked about. And they made two changes instead of one, and guess who played at left guard?
Dylan Raiden.
Oh, Dylan Raiden. What are they now, 3-0 or 4-0 Dylan Raiden's
undefeated. Yeah. We're going to blame Dylan Raiden for Derrick Henry not getting 100 yards.
Well, was probably the biggest thing. If we envisioned a game like that for the Titans where the offense breaks through, I would have put as part of the equation Derrick Henry probably ran for 120, 140 at least. Mm-hmm. But it didn't happen. They did a good job. They sort of... I wouldn't say they completely stopped him because he got some important gains to keep them on time, but he never broke a big run. I think the Packers take that 10 times out of 10, hold him to 3.1 yards per carry, no explosive plays, and yet they still carved up that defense.
Yeah. And Go ahead, because I got something else on this.
Okay. I was just, Derrick Henry, he didn't get a lot of yards, but they had to pay attention to Derrick Henry. They couldn't just say, okay, we got him bottled up. He's fine. We don't need to have we can take that extra man out of the box. Even when the Titans were completing passes down the field, they still, Green Bay still had to respect Derrick Henry running the football, even though he didn't get a lot of yards. But what he did, he controlled the clock. He controlled the clock with his three-yard runs, 3-4 here, 7 here, 3 here, 4 here. He controlled the clock, kept them majority of the times in front of the chains, which is, we discussed yesterday, that's what you got to do. He doesn't necessarily have to, rush for 150, but if he's controlling the clock and the Titans are staying in front of the chains, that's a win.
What I was going to say on Derek is I noticed early in the game it felt like he was trying to go off tackle. He was trying to go to the outside. Mm-hmm. And it's because I think he was unsure of what the middle was going to look like. But I thought that Raidens and Brewer did a good job of opening up some lanes in the middle, and Derek adjusted to that. And then you saw him go up the middle. Now, he didn't break a home run by any means, but – I think the middle became more effective as the game went on because you could tell that Brewer and Raidens got comfortable in those spots.
And they didn't get destroyed by the pass rush. Mm-hmm. What you worry about is, there was a couple plays where like, whoops, there's Dennis Daly, and here comes the one-on-one. Oh, boy. But for the most part, they were able to execute the plays that they wanted to execute. It really looked like it had a rhythm, a precision, and so... I mean, hats off to him. That's a huge, huge thing, I think. Like you said, Derek, mm-hmm. I think the work of Derrick Henry set up the offense. If the attitude is, if you take away Derrick Henry from the Titans, they have no chance. They can't beat you. Well, I think around the league, like, ooh, they took away Derrick Henry, at least in a running game, and they got burnt.
And that's why they have to, moving forward. They did a great job at it this game, but I'm going to keep on preaching. You got to identify who your playmakers are, the guys that can get big chunk plays. Because what those guys do is, if teams say, listen, we're going to go out and we're stopping Derrick Henry, and then 100% of the teams when they play the Titans, that's what their philosophy is. Let's stop Derrick Henry. Well, if you have those guys, those playmakers that can get big chunks for you, now you force the defense to make a decision. Either they're going to stick with stopping the run, which Green Bay did. They stuck with it. They were like, listen, no matter what, we are going to stick with game plan one, which is to stop Derrick Henry. Or you're going to say, you know what, we can't allow the Titans to continue to get these chunks. And we just hope that, you know, our defensive line can get in the backfield and get Derrick Henry before he starts. Now, that's a risky move to take if indeed you want to go that way, to take away the pass and say, you know what, we're just going to do our best against Derrick Henry and hopefully we can get him stopped. Go ahead if you want to try that. If you want to implore, you know, that sort of tactic, it never seems to work. But go ahead. But the Titans got to continue to do this. They got to continue to identify their playmakers, those guys that can get those big chunks. Because what get defenses out of that run front is not a 5-yard catch here, a 2-yard catch here, a 3-yard, 4 yards. It's those big chunks they start getting. Why? Because you're leaving those guys one-on-one outside, or they're in cover three, one safety high, and now they're exposed to the pass. Until the Titans consistently do that, teams are going to continue to play the Titans the way they have been. And Derrick Henry is almost, in a sense, like a decoy. Because if we're going to – all of our attention on Derrick Henry, and we're just going to trust that our defensive back, our secondary, is going to do the job against your wide receivers.
Yeah, but I think even if he's a decoy, what I'm seeing now, and this was my hope that as guys got healthy again, that if one game Derrick, you know, they're keying in on Derrick Henry, that opens up Treylon Burks, kind of like you saw with A.J. Brown. Mm-hmm. Hooper getting involved, Chig getting more involved. You mentioned Hilliard getting involved. And here's the other factor. Once Tannehill is healthy, and I don't know how healthy that ankle is going to be as the year goes on, as long as he keeps playing on it, it'll get a little better. But you got to factor him in, because you can run plays with him. I mean, we see the finger roll all the time. So I think that the positive is, and I want to see this, you know, against the Bengals, against the Eagles, against some of these good teams, because let's just face it, I don't think Green Bay's a good team this year. They're 4-7, I guess is what they are right now. 4-6. I think as the offense continues to evolve and you have this defense that's one of the best in the league, then you got to start really feeling good about the Titans' chances moving forward. But again, it's always going to come back to, how does Tannehill perform in the playoffs?
Yeah, ultimately that's the question, because I think Titan fans, you know, believe, hey, listen, they're going to the playoffs. They're going to get in the playoffs. But then that's why, you know, I talk about the offense so much, and because I've been a part of offenses that had a hell of a defense, but our offense wasn't going. And when you get in the playoffs and you don't have a passing game, you're not surviving. You're not. You got to show some signs of a passing game. I think the last team that won it that was strictly defense might have been the Baltimore Ravens. Even Seattle, when they won, and that defense was historically good, they were able to throw the ball with Russell Wilson, and they was able to run it too as well. I don't think you can strictly be a defensive team and expect to win and expect to get far in the playoffs. Even go back to the Ravens when they won in 2012. Their defense was good, but their offense, their passing game picked up in the playoffs. That's why they won, not because of the defense. The offense picked up in the playoffs and got them the victory in the Super Bowl.
Now we have to see. The next step is being able to beat a contender.
Right.
They're doing a tremendous job making strides. So the next step on the ladder will be when they face a Cincinnati, a Los Angeles Chargers.
Well, they contended with Kansas City with Malik Willis at quarterback, so I'll give them that.
Yeah, I'm talking about just with the offense, the way it needs to click. Like you're saying, Derek, I mean, can you reasonably think you got a chance going to Kansas City, going to Buffalo, or even hosting one of those teams, that in the playoffs your offense has the tools to be able to succeed against a really good team? That's the next step.
Well, what happened to him in the AFC Championship game? That's the year Derrick Henry rushed for 2,000 yards, isn't it? Yeah, that's the year Derrick Henry rushed for
2,000. No, that was the year before.
Year before. But that year he rushed what, 1,500 yards, 1,600 yards.
And he really was coming into it.
And what happened?
He was on fire
the
coming
Titans
into this.
The Titans couldn't throw the football. They could not throw the football in the playoffs versus the Kansas City Chiefs. And what happened was, is teams are going to pile up on Derrick Henry in the playoffs. If you cannot throw the football in the playoffs, you're not going to win. It's just the way it is. In today's football, you're not going to win by playing great defense and getting 85 yards or 100 yards. Because that's what it would be in the playoffs, because everybody's piling up on Derrick Henry. So you got to be able – Tannehill has to have a game like this, three of them like this, in order to advance in the playoffs.
615-737-1025. We'll get to Doug coming up next. And some of you want to weigh in on the Titans and their victory over Green Bay. Coming up here on Chase Willie D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. But first, Willie, you have a word on QC Kinetics.
All right, let's talk QC Kinetics. Keeping people active. If you've been sidelined with joint pain, arthritis, QC Kinetics are just a phone call away. The leader in our nation in regenerative medicine. They now have three clinics in our listening area, Nashville, Clarksville, and in Murfreesboro. Advanced science that uses healing properties from your own body. These powerful healing agents, highly concentrated, put right into the aching joint. You got bad knees, that's where it goes. And the tissue in those knees can be repaired and restored, giving you the pain-free movement. And this is with no drugs, no steroids, no downtime, and no surgery. So if you've got arthritis issues or any other type of pain in your joints, don't let them tell you that surgery is the only option or some of these other traditional methods. If you have not explored QC Kinetics, you owe it to yourself. It's a free consultation. See if it's for you. Appointments are available as soon as next week. QC Kinetics, 615-249-4024. Nashville, Clarksville, Murfreesboro. 615-249-4024. 615-249-4024 for QC Kinetics.
Come on, I know that part. Come on, man. That Digital Underground.
There you go. Chase Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Chase's playlist continues.
I like that.
This is cutting edge right here. I got to tell you.
Can you rap, Derek? Go for it.
No, because I got this in my head. I got the song in my head, and I can't sing the song.
Yeah. Got some bad lyrics. Freestyle.
I'll give you a freestyle later. Y'all ain't ready for the freestyle. You know what I'm saying, Nick? I hit the freestyle before, Nick. I don't think you're ready for it. You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
With the Gucci hat on and everything, you're just ready to roll.
He's got the look.
Yeah, man.
Definitely got the look.
Youngin' and I'm thugging. You know how it is?
He's no white rabbit, though. You know?
615-737-1025. Taking your calls and texts on the Titans as they get the win last night over Green Bay. Let's go to the phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Bring in Doug, who wants to weigh in. Says the Titans stepped up. What's up, Doug?
Hey, guys, I want to talk about the game and nothing about a DUI. So last night, a friend of mine was asking me, how did I think it was going to go? He was thinking, you know, it's going to be Derek. You know, I said, well, man, you know what? Every week it's somebody different. And, you know, and just look at how they won, you know, against the Texans. You know, it was King Henry time where Derek has had a history of being successful. That helped with the win. Last game, it was concerned about Big Jeff and a few of the other starters being out. The replacements filled in. It was a bunch of sacks. You had a deciding interception by a no-name dude. You know, Stonehouse has flipped the field in his kicking game, and it's affected the game. I agree with you, D-Mace. You can't go deep in the playoffs, especially now with the rules geared towards scoring. In the passing game, you just got to have some air game. Hopefully, last night was a sign of things to come. And I think that will be effective in the future, because it's just going to be somebody different every week. Like you said, if you're going to stop Derek, here comes the air game. You know, you go up one safety, you know, put three DBs out there. Let's hope that Robert Woods, who finally had a game, Nick Westbrook, Akine, can still be effective. And then there's the Derek time. And then there's that defense. It's going to be somebody different every week, some phase different every week. And that's a full team right there. That's my opinion.
Thank you, Doug. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Doug.
Yeah, this team, and I said it earlier, this after that performance, and you figure okay, if the Titans, they're getting healthier on offense, and yeah, they lost a couple of guys on defense, but I don't think we worry too much about the defense, because the minute we say, oh, man, such and such out, then the game comes and they play a tremendous game on defense. So regardless of who's out, it really doesn't matter at this point. Mike Vrabel gets that defense. He and Shane Bowen gets that defense to play at a level that everybody expect, no matter who's out there. It's not like this team, oh, Jeffrey's out, not out there, so we bring in somebody else. And we don't expect his talent, you know, we don't expect him to play high. No, they expect you to be just as good as Jeffrey Simmons. That's what they expect. They expect there to be no noticeable drop-off. Not to say that these guys are Jeffrey, but that's the way these coaches think, and that's how they coach the players. Like, if you got to come in, we expect no drop-off. So, from a defense standpoint, it doesn't matter to me. As long as Vrabel's the coach and Shane Bowen's, I think they get that defense straight. The offense, from if they continue to play this way, it's hard to say that this team shouldn't be a favorite moving forward in the AFC. That's if they continue to take advantage of those playmakers they got, because it's not a coincidence that Robert Woods looked a lot better last night. It's not a coincidence. Treylon Burke showed up. They finally got him involved in the offense. And what did that do for Robert Woods? That opened things up for him. So there was no – it's not a coincidence that, oh, Treylon Burke's out there, now Robert Woods plays better.
Right. It's complimentary football. I mean, that's what it is. Andrew from Dover on our text line says, that team last night with the way they played, do you think that they would beat the Chiefs by two touchdowns? If that was the offense that had played the Chiefs.
I think they would have beat the Chiefs. I'm not going to say by how many, but I think had that offense – played that way against this Kansas City Chiefs, then yeah, they would have won.
Yeah, I mean, I think if they had had Tannehill and Burks, and
that's a big if, but I think that's what we talked about the day after the Chiefs game, mm-hmm. is how impressed they were. They had all of that going against them. An injured Jeffrey Simmons, no Ryan Tannehill, and they felt after the game that they were one or two plays away from winning mm-hmm. with that group. So I can definitely envision them having the tools to go win at a place like Arrowhead. I don't know if I felt like that about a month ago, but they keep getting better. And all these things we're talking about is why you cannot just look at the yards. I said this in the 10 o'clock hour. I want to say it again for our audience here. Don't let anybody tell you that because they're 32nd in yards or whatever they are, that they're the worst offense. There's a lot more to offense than just the yards.
They put up a lot of yards yesterday, though.
Yeah. The yards were there yesterday. Yeah. I'm not saying yards are not important at all, but I'm saying when you take a look at an offense, how much do they turn the ball over? Titans' offense is pretty good at holding on to the ball. Red zone, one of the best in the red zone. Now, like you're saying, Derek, mm-hmm. a few more visits to the red zone would be nice.
Yeah.
But they also, they churn up the clock with the way they run the ball. They run effectively. And when the weather gets cold, that pays big dividends.
Right.
They have a good punter. They put their defense in position to succeed. So they have a formula that works. So the numbers are deceiving when you're saying 32. Am I saying it's a great offense? No. But it's better than 32nd. They're not the worst offense. And hopefully they'll keep getting better.
Ben wants to weigh in on containing Aaron Rodgers. Ben, welcome in.
Hey. So yesterday I asked that question concerning Aaron Rodgers, saying that he felt confident throwing the football. And they did that. They contained him. Throwing the football, they pressured him, and they played really well, and I was impressed with them.
Okay, yeah, appreciate the call, Ben.
Well, they took his running game away, like they have done to pretty much everybody since the Saquon Barkley.
They didn't have Barkley a consistent running game last night.
No, not at all. 56 yards.
Yeah, 12 carries for 40 yards.
And he's been tearing it up. We talked about he's having a huge season. Mm-hmm. They neutralized him last night. They forced Aaron Rodgers to beat you going 10 yards at a time. That was exactly what they wanted to do. They didn't get big plays. They had to work for their points. Yeah, they scored a couple. But at the end of the game, 17 points. Take that every time.
Well, what they were able to do with that offense, obviously stopping the run is always their main thing, regardless of who they're playing. I don't care if they're playing a team that was great at running or subpar. the Titans are going to stop. They're going to try to stop the opposing team from running the football because they feel if we get you as a one-dimensional team, we win. But what the job they did, I think, that everybody's sort of overlooking because, I mean, they didn't get many. I think they got, one sack maybe yesterday?
They got the one sack late by Big Jeff, but they had some key pressures.
Yeah,
they had the intentional grounding, which is the same as a sack. They had
Should that have been a safety?
No.
You say no?
No.
It was close. It was very, very close.
Right, but your whole body is that, has to be – The referee explained it on the telecast, and I think he said rightfully so.
I know he explained it, but I'm asking y'all.
Yeah, once he's out, I mean, you can't.
It was close.
It was close.
But what they were able to do is they didn't sack him, but once. They harassed him some, but I think the thing that they did that they had to do that was critical amongst all that stuff, that when Aaron Rodgers got outside of the pocket, I talked about off-script plays. He made one off-script play that was touchdown to Watson in the end zone. You cannot allow Aaron Rodgers, because he does this just as good as anybody else. Yeah. I think Patrick Mahomes does it better than anybody. Those two quarterbacks and then Josh Allen, when they get outside, when you flush them outside the pocket, you can't allow them to get those off-script plays. Those defensive backs have to plaster and stay on their man. It was only one time that they got burned by it, and that was the touchdown to Watson in end zone. Every other time, they plastered, they stayed on their man, and they forced Aaron Rodgers to either make a late contested throw or just a throw out of bounds. That was the best thing they did all day in regards to their defense.
It is now time for Ask D. Mace. We do it every Friday at 12:30. You can call in 615-737-1025. You can ask Derek about the game, about football, about life, whatever you want. On the line, a pair of tickets to see the band Alter Bridge at the Ryman Auditorium on Monday, January 30th. But you must participate. 615-737-1025. Ask D-Mace is next on 1025-1063 The Game. Willie, before we go, though, tell us about Lee Company.
All right, let's talk Lee Company. 615-567-1000. Three in a row for the Predators on this homestand, all by a single goal. Another white knuckler last night, 5-4 over the New York Islanders. What a great game that was. It continues again tomorrow. Tampa Bay Lightning in town. Hockey fights cancer. Lee Company, big sponsor. You'll see their display all around Smashville if you're coming down. Or if you're listening on the radio, Max Hurst will start the coverage at 6 o'clock tomorrow. And it is sponsored by Lee Company. They've got a lot of great services. You're sitting here on a Friday. Maybe you're sitting at work, maybe you're driving around, and you have a maintenance issue at home or at your business. And you're thinking, man, I've been meaning to take care of that, but how do I do it? Lee Company is just a phone call away. 615-567-1000. If you're just listening at work, you can go ahead and just make an online appointment. Go to leecompany.com, and they will take care of you. General maintenance, home or at work, Lee Company is ready for you. Let their decades of expertise go to work for you. 615-567-1000 or leecompany.com. Proud sponsor, Nashville Predators.
G-Mace. He played 15 years in the NFL.
Quick throw. Touchdown, Derek Mason.
He had over 12,000 receiving yards.
Midfield, and there he goes. 80 yards for the touchdown.
And now you can ask him anything. Question about football or life? Now's your time to ask D-Mace.
We'll welcome you in.
Now on Chase, Willie, and
D-Mace.
On 102.5 and 106.3, The Game and the Game Nashville app.
Chase, Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. It is Ask D-Mace, presented by Derek Mason.
Uh-huh.
Brought to you by
Derek Mason.
And contributed by
Derek Mason. So come on in, people. My door is open. Ask D. Mace segment, which is awesome. You can ask me anything. You know, whatever you want to ask me. Come on, bring it.
On the line, a pair of tickets to see Alter Bridge at Ryman Auditorium on Monday, January 30th. But you must participate. Best question will win. Just full disclaimer.
Best question, people. Come on.
Full disclaimer. My pizza is, our pizza is on the way. And Nick, you'll get some too.
Or, Nick looking like,
I didn't look at you anyway.
You did. You gave me a look. I saw it. I'm just kidding. I pick on Nick, but it's because I like him. And so I may have to go get that. But you can call, you can text 615-737-1025. So let's lead it off with Kyle. Kyle is going to be first up on Ask D-Mace. Welcome in, Kyle.
What's up, fellas? Thank you for letting me in. Mm-hmm. This one may have been asked in the past, but I haven't heard it, so I'm going to go ahead and ask. D-Mace?
Yes.
I know you had to have been pretty well recruited when you were coming up through high school, getting ready to go into college. So my question is, did you have the opportunity or did you ever consider going to the University of Michigan instead of Michigan State? And I will gladly listen to the story.
Well, thank you.
Thanks, Kyle.
Kyle, I appreciate it. Going to Michigan would have been like me cutting my fingers off. I'm not doing it. No, coming out of high school, because I only played 2 years of high school, so there wasn't like this long list of, you know, long trail of film on me. Played 2 years in high school. First year was really run-oriented. Love Coach Lynch, but we ran the hell out of 26 and 27 power. And then my senior year, I was able to catch passes, a lot of them from Jimmy Hill, who was our quarterback at the time. And if it wasn't for Jimmy Hill and you know, he and I having that rapport, then, you know, I don't know if I would have been, you know, if they would have saw me as a, you know, four-star or five, whatever star it would have been back then. But I did get recruited by Michigan at the time, but they wanted me to play defense. And if you knew me back then, I wasn't hitting nobody. I played safety, and I played all the way back. Nobody threw the ball over me. That's what my thing was. I wanted to play wide receiver, and there were other schools that recruited me as a wide receiver. But ultimately, my thing was I knew someone already at Michigan State that I played high school football with. It was close to home, and it just felt like home for me, you know, and I don't regret it. Still got friends, still love the place. My Spartan Dogs will always be my Spartan Dogs. So I made the right decision by going to Michigan State. Damn you, Michigan. Don't like you.
We're in our Ask D-Mace segment. You can call or text 615-737-1025. You can certainly ask about the Titans. You can ask about life. You could go football, non-football. Have some fun with it. 615-737-1025. Mm-hmm. This one's coming in, and please leave your name, but we didn't get this one. If Todd Downing is suspended, and we just played Mike Vrabel's press conferences, it really does sound like there will be some consequences. Mm-hmm. He would not get into specific, but he said the league has policies. The league, we will give the league all of the information. Mm-hmm. He didn't get specific yet, but he said, hey, look, we all have great responsibilities here. We have to make great decisions. Clearly, Todd Downing did not. He said, if Todd Downing is suspended for a period of time, who would call the offensive plays in the game?
I would tend to think it's probably Tim Kelly because he is a part of the coaching staff. Or it could be the quarterback's coach. That end up calling plays, but
Kelly makes the most sense.
Yeah, Kelly
since he's the passing
make, yeah,
game coordinator.
He makes the most sense because you brought him in here to help.
But
the
Pat O'Hara
game.
Is the quarterback yeah. coach, so it
so
be
they him. Can go with, you know, or it can be a combination of Pat O'Hara and Tim Kelly, sure. Because Tim could still be, you know, offensive court, you know, passing coordinator, and Pat can, you know, run the run game. So both of them could, you know.
But Tim has called
play
plays
callers.
Before, so that makes the most
exactly.
sense to me.
So I would expect Tim to be the play caller, but then, you know, if the Titans come out and have a wonderful game offensively, then the chatter will start. So, you know.
Well, we'll see what happens. Igor is up next, and he's on line one. He wants to ask D-Mace. Igor, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. Derek, first of all, it's a pleasure to talk to you. I've been watching football for over 20 years, and thank you for being a part of my childhood and all the wonderful memories of watching the Titans and you play. But I have a technical question for you. Mm-hmm. I consider myself to be more educated than most in watching the game, but I've never played at the high school, college, or obviously pro level. And what I witnessed last night was, in my opinion, the formula for the Titans. You have an amazing running back. You have decent receivers, not great, but decent. You have a good quarterback and a good defense. And to play a game where I cannot predict the call, watching from my couch, is what it takes to win for this team. They have to be creative, and they have to be not necessarily trick plays, but a lot of short-term passes to help Derek break out. My question is, do you agree? And B, why is it so difficult from a technical standpoint for a quarterback and a receiver and an offensive team to produce consistent results in the short-term to intermediate-term passing game? I'm talking in the 6 to 15-yard range. Mm-hmm. We witnessed them have success last night. Can you explain to me what it takes, besides the timing of the offensive line and the protection and the reads and all that, but, I mean, from a receiver-quarterback standpoint, how can you be successful there, and how can they repeat that? And I'll listen. Thank you.
Thanks, Igor.
Thank you, Igor. Appreciate it. Quickly to answer your question, it takes time, because a lot of this stuff is timing and it's repetition. The short passing game, it's all about timing and repetition and feeling comfortable with your personnel from a quarterback standpoint and even from an offensive coordinator standpoint, feeling comfortable calling plays that you believe will work. Why aren't they throwing more of the short to intermediate passes? Because they've had guys in and out of the lineup. They haven't built that rapport with one another. You got to understand, this whole receiving core is new to Ryan Tannehill, with the exception of Nick Westbrook-Ikhine. His top pass catcher is gone from last year. He lost a pass catcher, too. He lost two of them 2 years ago. So the last 2 years, Ryan Tannehill has been losing his top pass catchers each and every year. So now he has a new crop of guys. He has to get used to those guys. Intermediate, short game, passing game, it's all about timing and rhythm. And if you can't get that timing and that rhythm built and established before the season and as you're going into the season, it's going to be, I'm not going to sit here and say you can't do it, but it's going to be difficult to do it. You're going to see games like the Titans had where their offense was inept. Why? Because they hadn't built that rapport. They don't have the consistency of guys being on the field with Ryan Tannehill. Last night was a prime example of everybody's being healthy from a receiver standpoint, for the most part, with the exception of Kyle Phillips, and him having a rapport, them making one catch, gaining confidence, and here we go. You get big plays in a game, it opens up everything else. It allows you to be a little bit more unpredictable in your calling, because now not only do we got to worry about Derrick Henry, but we got to worry about Treylon Burks. We got to worry about Chick Okonkwo making those big plays down the field.
All right, we'll have more of your phone calls, more of your texts coming up next on Ask D-Mace. That's all ahead on 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
D-Mace. He played 15 years in the NFL.
Quick throw. Touchdown, Derrick Mason.
He had over 12,000 receiving yards.
Midfield, and there he goes. 80 yards for the touchdown.
And now you can ask him anything. Question about football or life? Now's your time to ask D-Mace.
We'll welcome you in.
Now on Chase, Willie, and
D-Mace. Fire.
On 102.5 and 106.3, The Game and the Game Nashville app.
Chase, Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Chase McKay, Willie Donick, Derek Mason. Ask D-Mace. Alter Bridge tickets on the line for the best question for D-Mace. Monday, January 30th at the Ryman Auditorium. We'll take your calls and texts. Have you got any texts, Willie, that stand out to you?
We do. Here's one that comes up from time to time. It's been a few weeks, I should say, Derek, but always great stories. We were talking about some of your stories yesterday in cold weather games. Mm-hmm. Question for D-Mace. This is Eric in Bellevue. I was just curious about what your reaction was watching the Music City Miracle. Your perspective from, and so I don't know if Eric knows the story or not, but you were originally supposed to be
I'll
in the game.
His perspective was, he looked, he was asking where Coach Saban was. He was back in East Lansing. thinking that Michigan State was playing somebody, maybe Michigan.
Yeah.
You got knocked out early in the game.
I got knocked. You know what? And thanks to you and Darren, mm-hmm. I had never watched that game until one of y'all suggested, hey, you know what? The kind of therapy, go watch the game.
But that wasn't the game. We wanted you to watch
the Ravens game.
The Ravens.
Oh,
the next
yeah,
year.
You're right. That you want, that's the game
that was
you
me.
Wanted me to watch.
I'll
yeah.
take full responsibility yeah. for that. And that
the
was,
miracle game you won.
Yeah, so, we won. I mean, but I'm just saying, I wasn't in. But I watched that game for the first time like a couple of years ago because I never watched it. And I watched it for the first time because I always thought that I went out late in the game and that's early. Why they didn't put me back in. But I got a concussion early in the game. And this is right when they started taking your helmet because of concussion. Before then, they would put you on the sideline, make you do these tests. But it was pretty much, excuse me, it was pretty much up to you if you passed and if everything, whether you can
but
go
you
back
But you don't
in.
Remember the game, though.
I don't remember the beginning of, like, prior to me getting hurt, I don't remember anything before that.
Oh, okay. So
yeah,
you remember
before the
after.
Game. I remember everything after, but I don't remember everything before because I always thought it was late in the game. But I watched the game, and it was early. It was really early in the game, and I felt fine, I guess, after, but they took my helmet, so I couldn't go back in the game. And I'm sitting on the sideline while all of this is going on, and I'm standing next – I forgot who I was standing next to. It might have been Chris. I'm standing next to somebody. And all of a sudden, you see Dice run down, and I'm getting excited. Like, I don't have my helmet.
Yeah.
Everything. But I'm getting excited with everybody else. And as soon as Kevin go in the end zone, I run just like everybody else. I run to the end zone with Kevin, like, celebrating that, you know. So I felt great that we were able to, you know, orchestrate that play the way it was supposed to be ran. But you always say, we got this play in. It'll never work.
Yeah.
Well, it worked.
Well, and the funny part, and correct me if I'm wrong, but there were two guys that were set up to yeah. run the play. You and Anthony Dorsett,
and both
and you
of
both
us
got
hurt.
Hurt.
Yeah.
And so Lowry happens to be standing next to Dyson, grabs Dice, says, you're running this, goes through it with him real quick, like mm-hmm. all right there on the sideline. Yeah.
Because Dyson,
and they do it.
Because I think it was supposed to be Isaac Byrd back there, but because of the injuries and just
yeah,
the
they
confusion.
Couldn't find Byrd.
They grabbed Dyson and threw, and Dyson have seen us run it before. He's
sure,
been out
sure,
there,
sure.
And I think he might even ran it before in practice. But he goes out there and he runs it. They runs it. They run it flawless. And people ask me like, "Do you ever get upset that it wasn't you?" And I'm like, "No, that play was designed
it probably,
for Kevin."
No offense to
yeah,
you,
exactly. It probably wouldn't work because people would have been looking for me to get the ball. But right. I'm like, that was a play in time designed for those people that touched it.
Yeah.
And Frankie, Neil O'Donnell, Frankie, and Kevin. That play mm-hmm. was for them for that moment. I'm happy.
Oh, that's right.
For
Neil,
Kevin.
They put Neil out.
Yeah,
on.
Neil yeah. was out there. Neil wasn't even supposed to touch the ball.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But he ended up giving it
oh,
to
Lorenzo,
Frankie.
Lorenzo.
Yeah,
Lorenzo. Lorenzo yeah.
He ended up handed it to Frankie. Frank ran over right. and then threw it back.
So a funny story that I don't know if you – I think you've been told this, but uh-huh. the brother of a player, of one of your teammates, mm-hmm. has told me this story. That he's trying to go downstairs after the game and through all the craziness had lost his pass
uh-huh.
to go downstairs. And so the security guard is like, I know who you are, but you don't have your pass. I uh-huh. can't let you down here. And your mom
uh-huh.
is going down and says, no, that's my son. He's with me.
She probably did. I don't know.
But there's a little bit of a problem.
Exactly. Like, is that – that can be your son.
But it works.
But it worked out of me.
But it worked.
No. Yeah, that was a great moment. Great moment.
All right. 615-737-1025. Wes has a question for D-Mace. Wes, welcome in.
All right, D-Mace. So I try to look at the best possible scenario in bad situations. Uh-huh. And this whole Todd Downing thing kind of had me – stuck for a minute, but I want your professional NFL opinion. Don't you think with this the situation that happened with him that this is not just a perfect opportunity for Vrabel to call up Jared and get into the film room and make Jared the best OC of the Titans? I mean, it's perfect.
Hey, I think Jared.
Now that's what we call a curveball.
I think Jared set him up. I think Jared set up Downing. I am going to believe Jared had something to do with this with Downing.
That's funny.
I mean, but it's seriously, you know, we expect something there to be some type of consequence for his bad judgment, Downing's. And that's what it is. Even if a player puts themselves in that situation, I still call it, you made a bad judgment call. But I do believe that this is an opportunity for whether it's Tim Kelly or Pat O'Hara to come in and show what they can do as a coordinator. I don't, you know, just be, and to me, even if they come in and do a great job, in my eyes, it's still Todd Downing's job moving forward. But I understand how this works. If he's suspended for the Cincinnati game, and O'Hara and Kelly come together and they put together a game plan and it works flawlessly, people are going to be calling for Downing to be replaced. That's all right. I can see it happening.
Sure.
Already.
I mean,
whatever game he's missed, whatever game he may miss, if they come in and do a good job, people will be calling for his replacement. And that's unfortunate, but that's the way it is.
615-737-1025. There is a specific date next to Eric's name. So let's take Eric here on Ask D-Mace. Eric, welcome in.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Uh-huh. Hey, teammates, do you remember where you were on September 9th, 1995?
Man, September 9th. I was in college, I know that. We had a
game. I'll tell you this. You were in East Lansing, I'll tell you that, but do you remember who came to town?
Oh, who came to town? Gosh. It wasn't Michigan, was it?
No, was not.
Gosh, I can't remember
so
that.
So September 9th, that would be early in the season.
Yeah, early in the season. Couple of games.
First or second game, maybe?
Yeah, had to maybe be like second the second game? Game, second, third game, somewhere around there. I cannot remember. I'm sorry, Eric.
I believe it was Nick Saban's first game as Michigan State coach.
Yes.
The Nebraska Cornhuskers came to town.
Oh, hell, don't remind me of that game.
We have talked about that before.
I just looked it up.
Eric, don't remind me of that game. It was a, oh, my goodness. It wasn't good.
You got your ass kicked. That's
yeah,
what
it wasn't good at all.
Pretty good team. Pretty good team.
I didn't know you were involved in that until I watched the game on YouTube recently.
Uh-huh.
And sorry, D-Mace, I got to throw you.
No,
Michigan State receives the ball. Derek Mason goes to return it and fumbles.
Oh, yeah.
That's how the game starts.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it wasn't. No. That wasn't a that going against. Whew.
Thanks,
we
Eric.
Played. We they, thank you, Eric. We played them in consecutive years.
This was a powerhouse. Yeah,
this is when
powerhouse.
Yeah, this is when they had. I mean, and Lawrence Phillips was a freshman then. He was a freshman, and I remember he came into the game, first play of the game, and I think he went like 60 yards for a touchdown. It was nothing. It was like nothing we've ever seen from a team. When they walked on the field, it was like, we need to check y'all birth certificates because y'all look like grown men, that have been in the NFL like 5 or 6 years. That team was good. Then the next year we went down in their place and got beat too, but we did put up we made it. We were a little bit better. But man, that Nebraska team was.
Yeah. Oh, they won it all. That was the national champion. Tommy Frazier beat Steve Spurrier and the Gators in the championship game.
Great participation in Ask D-Mace. We'll get the winner coming up in a few. But coming up next, we'll talk to Coach Eddie George, TSU Tigers, get his thoughts on his game this weekend, also the Titans' win last night. We'll do that next. Chase Willie D-Mace, 125-1063 The Game.